the universe speaking to you. You are now tuned into the Modern Spiritual Life Coaching Podcast by the certified master life coach and spiritual guide, Coach Chip. Welcome, souls. We now begin this episode of a transformational journey. Unedited, unscripted, and creating something from nothingness. Now, let there be light on modern spiritual life coaching.
The Modern Spiritual Podcast Radio is back with another exclusive episode, 172. This one is about Planet X. Now stay tuned. This podcast is streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at modernspiritualradio.com. This where consciousness and science meet spirituality with integrity.
One man has spent the last few years of his life in pursuit of the facts. Is Planet X truly out there? We meet up with Gil Broussard once again and discover further details about this mysterious Planet X.
On July 10th, 2017, Rain Mercury breaks a way out on his own from Five Talent Entertainment to deliver another installment to the Planet 7X journey. Does it take Planet X 3,607 years to complete one orbital journey? As you can imagine, the gravitational effects of a sizable planet moving close to the inner solar system would spell big trouble for Planet Earth. Now presenting Planet 7X, the Destroyer. This Wacom, exclusively on the Modern Spiritual Podcast.
Moved in for a moment, and I thought it's going to ruin this party, but the forces of darkness united and did something good for a change.
I can tell you this crowd is very, very excited. Anthony, this is just incredible.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone. It's gone. We're in darkness.
People reported during a series of booms before the power went out, and then the sinkhole just opened up.
A fireball shooting across the horizon. It could be the prelude to something bigger.
This is the brightest asteroid body that we've seen in the last 10 years.
You have not seen this new planet.
No one has actually seen this planet yet. What we've done is felt it. We can tell that it must be out there.
So we have not four, not seven, not eight, we have nine signs in the sky. There is no other generation that has had so many.
So would the world be a better place without God?
The world would be an enormously better place without God.
Since our first installment of Planet 7X, the Destroyer documentary, more questions have been asked. Where is it? Why haven't I seen it? Is Planet X really a part of biblical prophecy? So many questions, so little time to answer. Welcome, Gil. Thank you so much for doing this again. We've definitely had over the almost 2 years now since we did the last documentary interview on Planet 7X, the Destroyer. We've gotten quite a few emails, phone calls, letters, people trying to get in touch with us and wanting certain things to be clarified, wanting to know what the latest information is. Where are we at on the timeline for those of us who are believers and believers of prophecy and, you know, end times? What's going on in the world? Because it really does seem like things are getting worse, not better. So there are some people out there that are saying Gil's all about the money. He doesn't really believe this. It's just another quack out there. Let's first clear the air. Do you really believe in Planet 7X?
Yes, this is a real object. The data supports that. There's more than one white paper study that points to this being a real object.
When I first started this research, I was a hardened skeptic. But not until I had a sizable amount of actual hard data through peer review studies, the Pioneer and Voyager probes where they had sent them, actual perpetrations of planets and comets, and all the historical comments in history listed in the Bible, as well as artifacts, all point to one constellation out of 88 constellations. The information and the factual data is overwhelming that we have an object coming from Sagittarius.
So then the big question is why? You just mentioned a little bit about the data, but what is it about it that persuaded you?
Neil Tyson misdescribed what science is pertaining to astronomy. If you can take observed phenomena, bring it into the laboratory, and show that it's repeatable, that's science.
But I don't remember any time where people were standing in denial of what science was. One of the great things about science is that it is an entire exercise in finding what is true. A hypothesis, you test it, I get a result. A rival of mine double checks it because they think I might be wrong. They perform an even better experiment than I did, and they find out, hey, this experiment matches. Oh my gosh, we're onto something here. And out of this rises a new emergent truth. When you have an established scientific emergent truth, it is true whether or not you believe in it. And the sooner you understand that, the faster we can get on with the political conversations about how to solve the problems that face us.
Well, we have the Asian astronomers, the Chinese, Korean, and Japanese astronomers, each had roughly a dozen astronomers. You're looking at over 30 different top-level astronomers of its time, 960 years ago, plus the NASA probes where they sent it, plus the two recent white paper reports, and the 14 events in the biblical records, which when you bring the 14 events in the biblical records and overlay the path that we're able to extract from the Asian records, you have an exact match. And that's exactly what science says. When you can take something that was observed and show an actual physical model that reproduces the events that they're claiming, that's science.
What was Gil doing before he started the research?
Before I was doing research for Planet 7X, I was in the oil field as a structural and piping designer, senior engineer tech for a oil and gas engineering firm. Being in the engineering fields, you learn how to figure things out and learn the principles of doing research and staying within specs, as they say.
Did you give up on anything? Did you stop anything? Did things change for you when you realized, oh my gosh, there's something here?
Yes, I put a halt to my career. And after the initial report was shocking that we do have an object, after that I pursued to look for additional evidence that would cancel it out, to where it would prove that it's not real, because I really didn't want this to be a real object. And I spent the next 3 years trying to disprove it. And instead, evidence kept piling up that this was a true and real object, to where I didn't have any more footing left to be a skeptic.
Now, when you started this research, why Planet 7X instead of just Planet X? A lot of people are kind of confused. They're like, why is he calling it Planet 7X? It's Planet X. You know, what's the deal here?
Reason why I call this Planet 7X instead of Planet X is to separate the research from other researchers that I simply don't agree with what they posted, or it's not backed by fact or actual white paper reports. Most of the data that I've seen on the internet lack hard data. It violated either orbital mechanics or Kepler's laws of planetary motion. The significance behind the numeral 7 in the name is to depict the size, possible size of this planetary object. It's somewhere between 5 and 7 times the diameter of Earth.
When you started to do the research, did you encounter any kind of resistance? I mean, you spent some time before, I'm pretty sure, you started connecting the dots. And then when it came time to reveal, did you feel any pushback from family or friends? Was there any resistance from anybody too when you started to kind of showcase this? And when did you begin to show your results?
They didn't really know I was doing this work. What I call it is I went in my cave and was doing it pretty much privately. Usually it takes a team of astronomers, whatever, to do the work. And I was
going at it at 12 to 14 hours a day for 3.5 years. The ones that I showed the evidence, I had no misresistance, that whenever they looked at it, they felt that there was enough evidence as well that there is a planet that has come through our system before. I started this research when I came back from China.
When you were in China, were you there for a specific reason? Did you start to come across Planet X symbols, imagery, paintings, or anything like that that started leading you down this rabbit hole?
I was in China pertaining to an oil and gas project. And most of the time I was there, I was on standby time. So I had a lot of time to go to nearly every museum in Beijing. And so I wasn't aware of this planet yet. But when I go back and look at my pictures after I found this white paper report, it's quite evident in the castings of these bronze bells. They showed a dragon with planet showing plasma, like lightning coming from it. They show it's in the woodwork, it's in the art, it's...
You are listening to the Modern Spiritual Podcast. We are now receiving messages from the universe. We will be back with our podcast in a moment.
The place. Even in the astronomer's equipment, they would always put these dragons in the corner instead of just straight legs. It's all associated with the astronomers looking for this and warning the Monsieur Lead of his time, which was the emperors in them, to where they could stock up on food. History is repeating itself. The elite today want to know when and when it's coming and how to prepare.
How long have you been researching Planet X from start to right now?
To right now, it's been about 5 years now.
Was there any group or has there been any group that has actually taken your information, your data, your findings? Is there any person, group, scientists that have tried to compare apples to apples, data to data, their data with your data? Has there been anybody that's tried to, you know, make claim against it or even in support of it?
There are some people that would take the stance that this isn't plausible or that there isn't a planet. But until they review the information, they come back pretty much as I did as a skeptic, empty-handed. There is no footing left to stand on to be a skeptic once you thoroughly misreviewed the data. And so I don't have any opposition of people that have looked at the data thoroughly. The few critics that I have are people that come to this subject from an emotional point of view that do not compare apples with apples. They're strictly running off emotions. And they may have something negative to say or try to attack my character or something like that, but they have yet to attack any of the data. At any given time, I'm ready to go toe-to-toe with any logically based person that wishes to look and misreview the data and go head-to-head with this, whether or not this planet actually exists. Professional astronomers have reached out and asked for all my data, but they won't go on the record. And they've been quiet with the mixed results. I'm the only one going public with this information and showing where in what white paper reports. In other words, connecting the dots for people. And they can make up their own mind. They don't have to believe me, but look at the data first.
Have you had people clearly angry with you and say that you're wrong? And have they given you anything other than their emotion?
Yes, there's some people that stated that I was wrong because it went against the norm. Like, there's many people out there stating a 3,600-year orbit, a mini solar system. The data that I found doesn't support these things.
They call it Planet X. They mean maybe the unknown planet, but it's also the 10th planet. They called it Nibiru, which means planet of the crossing. And they say that this planet, the 12th member of our solar system, has a very large orbit of 3,600 years. And every 3,600 years, it comes between Mars and Jupiter close to us.
If it was a 3,600-year orbit, it would have to be many times larger than Jupiter. That's a quote from Harrington, Robert Harrington from
the Office of Naval Research himself. In his own papers, he was estimating around 1,100 years. Now, he didn't have the data that we have from the Asian records. That's the only thing that's different. That they saw naked eye observation, no telescope, for a total of 26 months, 13 months coming in, 13 months leaving. They documented it clearly to where we could plot its orbit. When that shocking results that showed us that it had an entry roughly 150, 152 days apart between entry and exit, and it passed over Earth's orbital path twice, that brought up the Bible in multiple ways.
In the last documentary, Planet Saturn Exodus Story, we talked about strange weather, floods in areas that wouldn't normally happen, extreme high temperatures in cold places, and this seemed to be increasing, and a lot of people have wanted to know from you personally, has anything changed?
All of the precursors for an inbound planet have increased. For one, like the wobble of Earth has increased severely.
In a study published in the journal Science Advances, NASA says melting ice sheets, especially in Greenland, are changing the distribution of weight on Earth. And because of this, the wobble, which is called polar motion, has changed course.
And it's tilting towards the south of the universe, which is where the data is pointing to.
The magnetic north is still moving at 12 times its normal rate.
By 15 meters per day, the North Pole is moving towards Siberia. This makes 50 kilometers per year. And I think this is quite a significant number, and it underlines that there's really something happening with this Earth's magnetic field, which needs to be observed.
New evidence indicates that the intensity of the Earth's magnetic field is decreasing at a rate 10 times faster than normal, leading many geophysicists to believe that we're on the brink of another reversal. But what would happen if that did occur?
So the Earth's magnetic field is all the time changing a little. And the location of the Earth's magnetic pole, which is right now somewhere off northern Canada, has changed quite a bit over the last 100, 200 years since we've been making good magnetic measurements. But what's remarkable about the last 10, 20 years is how much the position of the Earth's magnetic pole is changing. And the Earth's magnetic pole turns out to be shooting towards Russia at an alarming rate. So one day it'll be gone out of North America, and that'll only be a few years if present trends continue.
Incoming meteorites severely rising.
According to a new study from Nature International Weekly Journal of Science, Earth could be hit by a meteor strike once every one or two decades. That's a probability 10 times higher than previously thought. And that's an international concern. Next month, the United Nations General Assembly expects to establish an international asteroid warning network.
It's the weather patterns that are much more severe.
At least five possible tornadoes touched down from near Mankato to the Twin Cities today.
10 confirmed tornadoes. That's what the National Weather Service came up with after crews spent the day checking out damage reports across northeast Wisconsin.
It is one of the largest outbreaks of tornadoes we've ever seen in northeast Wisconsin.
30 reported twisters from Louisiana to South Carolina. At least 20 people killed. Thousands of homes destroyed.
Harvey barreled ashore overnight, packing 130-mile-an-hour winds, blinding sheets of rain, and a treacherous storm surge.
We have been praying for quite a while now for the eye to pass over so we can get some kind of a break.
Hey, this is bad.
The Category 4 hurricane is the strongest to hit the U.S. in 13 years.
It's the winds. It's these outer bands from Irma. But the winds are already sucking the water out of Tampa Bay. This is surreal to see. The current pulling it out into the bay and into the Gulf.
Hurricane Maria has joined the growing list of major hurricanes to impact the Caribbean and the U.S. in recent weeks.
Tonight, at least 74 large wildfires are raging in 8 western states. They have destroyed more than 1 million acres combined. Several of the newest fires are in California.
Chilly, out of control wildfires are scorching their way through central and southern parts of the country. Thousands of homes have been destroyed. And to make that worse, record-breaking high temperatures are causing the fires to grow.
Sounds like just a bad situation all around.
As Texas braces for more water, much of Europe is sweltering through a brutal heat wave. Seth Doan reports now that it's so bad, Europeans have given it a name.
Lucifer is living up to its name. Intense heat that's fanning forest fires across France and Spain. And scientists warn summers will keep getting hotter.
Probably don't have to tell you that the Sahara is a notoriously hot, dry place with temperatures sometimes reaching more than 120 degrees Fahrenheit. It hasn't snowed in the Sahara like this in 37 years. In fact, this is the second time in recorded history that the sandy dunes have been sprinkled white.
And now to Saudi Arabia, where sub-zero temperatures in recent days have led to an unusual sight, a blanket of snow in the desert. Saudi Arabia has a hot desert climate, but now snow covers desert sands in the central and northwestern regions.
We're seeing massive death of animals, of bird life, fish life, and even certain small mammals in the hundreds of thousands.
For weeks, scenes like this have played out on East Coast beaches. 10 dead whales, with scientists wondering why.
Anybody who thinks that it's not extremely serious is very mistaken.
Hundreds of volunteers are trying to save the last survivors of a herd of pilot whales that beached themselves along a remote area of New Zealand. One of the worst whale disasters in the country's history. The government says as many as 300 whales have died so far. The volunteers are trying to save about 100 at-risk whales. Conservation officials aren't sure what caused the whales to strand themselves.
Thousands of birds found dead in the Yolo Bypass. A CBS 13 viewer sent us these pictures and asked us what is causing this disturbing phenomenon.
How do you move 500 elephants? The answer, of course, is very, very carefully. But the real question is why you would need to move 500 elephants. The answer isn't very funny. To save them from extinction, elephant populations are quickly plummeting across Africa.
And then the Bible also says, when you see the earthquakes rising like the pains of a woman giving birth, know that he is near.
Yeah, the earth is constantly moving. It seems like it's solid. It's really not. Truth is, they're happening. 4,000 quakes happen around the world every day. Most of them are way too small to actually be felt. It's basically judged based on where the areas of seismic risk. You look to what happened in the past, and geologists can sort of see, all right, well, this is where sort of the seismic activity has happened before. This is where the earth is moving. The problem is, it's not like a hurricane or a tornado where you can say, we can track it, we can sort of look days into advance. We really still don't know. I mean, it's still something sort of a mystery for scientists.
The government clearly is not indicating all of the seismic activities that they used to in the past. Like right now, you can't hardly find any data on what's going on at Yellowstone. And there's hundreds of them going off there, tremors and everything, but they're not reporting any of them.
A swarm of earthquakes have hit Yellowstone National Park over the past week. The park is home to a massive supervolcano that could erupt at any time. So is the swarm warning us about a looming disaster? RT's Brigida Santos joins me live from Los Angeles with the details. So Brigida, how many earthquakes have hit Yellowstone this week?
Natasha, the U.S. Geological Survey has tallied up over 500 earthquakes in that area in the past week.
We briefly touched on it in the last documentary about sinkholes. I thought the worst thing that you could hear about was like a tornado, you know, tsunami, you know, a tidal wave, earthquake. Now, I've never been in more fear about the ground underneath me falling out from underneath.
You are listening to the Modern Spiritual Podcast. We are now receiving messages from the universe. We will be back with our podcast in a moment.
The term sinkhole was not even in our vocabulary 15 years ago. This is a total new phenomenon that started within the recent years.
Whenever I was growing up, you never even heard the term even, or seen any results of this type. It is particularly for what's going on Earth, the Earth's heating up, the expansion of the crust, and the way the water flows. It's eroding these caverns underneath it, and they're collapsing, which is, again, things that we would expect. So things are only, the only way that it's going to get less of this is when the planet is on its way back out. But as long as it's approaching, you can expect the same results as what we're seeing, but at more intensity and more frequency.
Some people are asking, like, what's all the sign that is this generation going to see? Well, the Bible tells, for this adulterous and wicked generation, they'll have only one sign, the sign of Jonah.
There has been some talk about, well, what does that mean? Especially nowadays, what you would consider wicked is not what some people think is, or adulterous is somewhat almost acceptable now. You know, certain behaviors now are kind of accepted. So it's almost like the current generation isn't quite understanding. Well, what do you mean by wicked and adulterous generation will not notice these signs? Well, what is that? And what defines, what does the Bible qualify as a wicked and adulterous generation?
It is my opinion that that sign that he's talking about for this generation is the 40-day warning. That's roughly when the governments of the world are going to announce it to the public that this object, this brand new star-like object you see in the sky when it rounds the sun, it won't be very threatening visually. It'll look like a star about the size of what you see in the sky, like looking at Venus, just a bright star. That they will announce it as being that it's going to travel close to Earth. Only the last 2 weeks will the public start to panic when it starts to visibly get larger in the sky, especially the last 3 days of its approach. At the third day away, it's about as half the size of our moon visually.
And wicked at the original offset came from the root word of a candlewick maker, where he take two threads and intertwine them to make a wick. Well, one who's doing wicked is taking one thread of truth and one thread of falseness and intertwining it. Okay? In other words, he's saying today our scriptures are, people are interlacing their man-made laws or things that they don't like in it, and they substitute it with their own misbeliefs, and they're intertwining this in it. They're doing wickedness. And for wicked and adulterous generation, again, sometimes adultery also means adulterating the word, changing the words.
And apparently there's a new Judgment Day. Christian radio host Harold Camping apologized yesterday for insisting the world would end this past Saturday. He now says that was only a spiritual judgment, an invisible judgment. He says it will actually take 5 months for the fireball to arrive that will consume Earth.
The whole world is under Judgment Day, and this is and it will continue right up until October 21, 2011, and at that time the whole world will be destroyed.
And even if we did have only Christians in our midst, if we expelled every non-Christian from the United States of America, whose Christianity would we teach in the schools? Would it be James Dobson's or Al Sharpton's? Which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy? Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay, and that eating shellfish is an abomination? Or we could go with Deuteronomy, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith? Or should we just stick to the Sermon on the Mount? A passage that is so radical that it's doubtful that our own Defense Department would survive its application.
So once again, I have to be honest with you. Based on what the Bible says, there will be no rapture. And Jesus is not coming back.
Hey, Alex and Leo, check this out. When the Pope spoke before the United Nations, he says, "I come in my own name and in the name of the Catholic community." Well, check out John 5:43. "I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive."
El Secretario General,
the Secretary General of the United Nations,
ha invitado al Papa,
has invited the Pope to address this distinguished assembly
de las
of nations.
In
my own name and that of the entire Catholic community.
Repeat that again.
Yes, the very first remarks out of his mouth, the translator will say it. I flipped out, Alex. He says, "I come to you in my own name, in the name of the Catholic community." He did not come in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Here it is, Pope, to address the Distinguished Assembly of Nations in my own name and that of the entire Catholic community. Wow, so he said in my name, not in Christ's name.
"I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive."
And it could be an act. Either one, this world today meets those definitions.
I think people think having a synthetic partner is strange because it's just so out of their realm of possibility.
I just think it's a matter of time before more people are choosing the synthetic option.
Today we stand upon this holy earth and in this sacred space to witness the rite of matrimony between the sea and us all. Just as we come together as family and friends, so we ask the Lady and the Lord of the Wild Wood to present here within our circle. May the sacred union of this hand-passing ceremony be filled with their holy presence.
Well, here's some news you can use. Have you ever heard of the term soligamy?
Yeah, it's a growing relationship trend in which people marry themselves. Here's more now from reporter Weisha Zhang.
In many ways, Erica Anderson was a traditional bride. The 37-year-old from Brooklyn planned a formal ceremony with a white dress, flower bouquet, and walked down the aisle. Only no one was waiting for her, and that was just the way she wanted it.
Chris Severe says if same-sex couples can legally marry, he should be able to legally marry an inanimate object. Chris Severe wants to marry his computer.
This is not a game, okay? This is not some kind of funny scenario.
So we've got these four, definitely, I think most Christians have heard and agree upon. But I introduced the Pentad, a series of five, which coincided with Belgium, on the 23rd of March, 2016, which actually is Passover if you're not using the 13-month calendar. If you go with the 12-month calendar, this is the beginning of the religious new year. It's Nisan. So it's Passover. So you can add to that the solar eclipse on the 1st of Nisan in 2015. And you might want to call it a hexad, series of six. You might want to call it a heptad, because you've got a partial solar eclipse on the 1st of Tishri on the Hebrew calendar. There is another one. There is a partial lunar eclipse on the 16th of September this year, and that happens to be Sukkot. So if a tetrad was rare, this is the rarest sign that we've ever been given in 2,000 years. Something is coming. So you might wish to call this a hexad. There are six lunar eclipses, four total, two penumbral. You might want to call this an octad. If you count the two solar eclipses, that's a series of eight. You might even wish to call it a nonad, a series of nine, because there was, and this was mainly got the attention of the Indonesians, there was a recent partial solar eclipse on the March 9th. March 9th was the beginning of the religious new year. So we have not four, not seven, not eight, we have potentially nine signs in the sky. There is no other generation that has had so many. But if you're living right now like Jesus isn't coming back, like sinning doesn't matter, like serving God doesn't matter, I would say, please wake up.
People have asked me, is Donald Trump playing a role in the Bible? Yes, he's a world leader. All world leaders are chosen. Remember, he says he chooses the leaders that a nation deserves.
On June 14, 2016, Donald Trump turned 70 years old. So on January 14th, Donald Trump will be 70 years and 7 months old and 7 days on the inauguration day. Now, I'm not endorsing a candidate. I am just telling you that this is fascinating. This kind of stuff fascinates me. Now, here's the next thing. The number seven, as you know, is very significant. In Hebrew, the seventh letter is Zayin, and it means a weapon. Now, this year in Hebrew is 5777. 777. The first digit is five, okay? And the five means, hey, to behold. So here, this year means to behold, weapon, 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 warfare, warfare, warfare.
And if you don't know the meaning of it, you might already, I want to explain the Donald. Donald Trump is the only Donald in the world that is known as the Donald. It is a Scottish Celtic name that comes from two parts, Dumno, which means world, and Val, which means ruler. The Donald means the ruler of the world. His last name is Trump, which is a play on the word triumph or victory in English, and Trump, which is trumpet. Now, there is a scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery, God says. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And if you know that God uses puns and plays on words, and he likes doing that, then it's an amazing coincidence that at the last trump, the dead in Christ will rise. Now, he's not literally the trumpet that will sound from heaven, but he would be a pun, a literary device, a play on word that God has used again and again. Could it be?
You are listening to the Modern Spiritual Podcast. We are now receiving messages from the universe. We will be back with our podcast in a moment.
That if Donald Trump got elected, that he would be the last trump before the rapture.
Most people don't study the Bible in its original text, so there seems to be some confusion as to your research. Maybe they need a little clarification. So one of the questions are that have come from some of your subscribers have been, people are confused what the Bible says in Genesis about the greater and lesser light. Some people have already taken into account that, well, that's the greater light is the sun and the lesser light is the moon. But your research has shown something a little bit different and in studying the original text. So let's clarify that with some of these subscribers.
Many people have a problem with accepting that the moon was made during Noah's time, because they read in Genesis a greater light and a lesser light was created. The moon is not mentioned until Joseph of Egypt. When he had a dream at age 17, that was in Genesis 37:9, where it's actually mentioned in the Hebrew. The word that was mistranslated in the English means appointed time, and that's the way it should be stated. And the actual calendar wasn't associated with the moon until Isaiah, with Hezekiah, when the shadow went backwards and the calendar changed from 360 to 365 and a quarter days. He says it in Psalms that now the feast days or the appointed times are associated with the moon because the orbit of Earth expanded slightly to a longer orbit around the sun. That's when the lunar calendar started. Before that, you didn't need one because you had 30-day months for 360-day year. Only thing you have to know was when the seasons for the barley was ripe, which was the equinox. And so that's when they started the calendar. After that, they had 30-day months. So what caused that lesser light? Well, when you look at the Earth, you don't look at the Earth as the way it is today, but look at the Earth the way the Bible was stating it. It had a canopy of water around it at that time. Well, if you ever seen an aquarium at nighttime when you turn off the room lights, the light in the aquarium is transmitted through the water and it illuminates the room in a lesser light scenario. When the sun would have hit the canopy on Earth, it would have radiated some of that light to the other side, giving you exactly what it states, a lesser light to the other side. It's only our assumption that the moon was there, and our assumption now can be proven not correct.
Some of the people have looked at some of your charts, and one of the charts that have stood out among most of them have been the diagram where you show Robert Harrington's orbital path that he described as, you know, this mysterious body that comes around so many years. I think he came up with a roughly 1,100 year orbit on an elliptical course, but it wasn't quite exactly where your research was aligning up. But then your research, you know, also too, you know, has a little bit of shorter path, but at the same time though, it's on an elliptical course. And then there is, of course, what some of the research in ancient studies were saying too, is also on an elliptical course, but slightly off. And then when people are looking at this, they're not understanding exactly what are you trying to get out with the fact that, you know, are you just saying those are too wrong, or is there something to their research too? What is it about this research? Even though we do an overlap, I think we need to kind of explain it a little bit better. What were you trying to get across?
Overall, the three models from Harrington, from Planet 7X Research, and the astrophysicists pertaining to the orbits of comets, they all triangulate the direction that this object is coming from. And this triangulation points to only, out of 88 constellations, it points only to one, Sagittarius, and on the ecliptic. And then when you overlay the Asian records and the biblical records and all this, and on top of that, the NASA and Pioneer and Voyager probes, this is exactly where they sent it. The data is all pointing. Remember, there's 88 constellations. The data is overwhelmingly pointing to the constellation Sagittarius, and not just anywhere in Sagittarius, but on the ecliptic.
So one of the problems is people are sending in emails and photos and maybe even some videos, but you know, even I've had to kind of dismiss some of this stuff and try to work with people and saying, listen, what you're looking at is that's not planet 7X, that's not Nibiru, that's not the Red Dragon of old. You know, it does not match up with, you know, all of the data. You're either looking at an artifact, or you are looking at a sun dog, or you're looking at something else, but it is not what you claim it to be. So let's clarify. What people are seeing in the night sky, or what people are seeing in the daytime sky, or even at night, does it match up with what your data is showcasing?
Most of them show something almost equal to the size of the sun. And according to the models, when we run, it tells us, remember, each day that it's away from it, tells us the size of this object on its orbital path. If we were to take the present models we have, if you see an object equal to the size, that means it would be here crossing Earth path in 3 days. It hasn't happened, has it? All these claims, none of that has happened. Okay. Even at the 40-day mark, whenever they warned the world population, it will only look like a star. Remember, look, Venus is equal to the size of Earth. How does it, and it's 3/4 from the sun to us, it's 3/4 of the distance to us. What does it look to the naked eye? It looks like a star, doesn't it? Well, this planet, when it's just about where Venus is, it'll maybe be about 5 to 7 times larger than in the sky. It'll still be a big star. It will not be shocking until the last week of its approach.
Let me just let some of the viewers out there know that, again, and I'm going to show this diagram as I'm talking, is that basically what you should be looking for is something that is going to be no bigger than Venus or Jupiter, but maybe as bright as Venus at night on the ecliptic near Sagittarius, coming out of Sagittarius. So if you're seeing something else and it doesn't align with the data, you're looking at something completely else, which could either be at a sun dog, it could be a camera artifact, a refraction of some kind. Test the information. See what it is that you're looking at. Use other cameras, more than just one. Call somebody to see if they're seeing the same thing, and then analyze what exactly you're looking at before you jump to the conclusion that that's Planet X. Your subscribers want to know, where is Planet X right now? And why haven't they seen it? Which we just kind of answered, but again, let's figure it out.
Planet X is somewhere on its orbit. We have that knowledge. We have that data. We know where its entry and exit is. We roughly know the distance that it goes out, which is roughly between 90 to 94 astronomical units before it turns around. But we don't know where it is on its path unless we have a sighting. Now, when we have a sighting, I've put my telescope on it, do a few calculations, and give you a rough estimate of when it's going to arrive, or verify if the government says it's going to arrive such and such date. Okay? But right now, we don't know where it is on there. We can only use the Bible as if it gives us, it describes the future to us. It's the only book that can do that accurately. And it gives us an inkling of a sighting in the sky, the moon at the foot of Virgo. That's half of what he says. The other half says the fiery dragon of old has to be there. That's our planet. So if we see a lineup at a moon at the foot of Virgo, we look for the object in the sky to start approaching, like a star. And if we see it, then we announce. Because in the Bible it says, you ask me, do I have an agenda? I have no agenda whatsoever, except to fulfill one part of what the Bible says. Says a watchman on a wall is responsible to warn the people. Otherwise, if he doesn't, all of their deaths lie on his head. But if he warns them and they don't listen, then it's no consequences to him. Remember, planetary objects, comets and such, and moons do not change their orbital path unless their influence, the old term was gravity, the new term is electromagnetic pull. We do have an object, a planetary size object in that region that is affecting the sun, our earth, and other planets.
So then here's something, another question too, is a lot of people have even called myself and have said, should I run to the mountains? Should I pack up right now? Do I need to leave now because it's going to be coming out this year? Does Gil really believe this? Do you believe this? You know, you produced this. What do you think? And of course, you know, I've had to calm people down and say, wait, listen, follow the information. Do you see it in the sky? There's no reports about it right now. Even Gil said there's a window here. You know, we need to be watching. Don't run to the mountains right now. You know, do your due diligence first, you know, prepare. But a lot of people are, you know, already packing up and they're already heading to the mountains, the highest peak they can, or going underground. So, and a lot of these people are Christians. And so out of the conversation comes one of the big ones is, well, isn't it all part, are Christians going to see it during the tribulation or the great tribulation? What's the differences between the two?
Tribulation started in 2001. That means Jacob's trouble, okay? Where they cut the heads off of Christians and Jews. That's already started. The Great Tribulation is the last 3.5 years, okay? Remember when the two prophets show up, they bring 3.5 year drought, okay? Well, this thing brings total of 7 usually. 3.5 years as it's coming in and 3.5 years when it's leaving. That last 3 is the last half of the 7-year drought. As Elijah and them show up, which will be 3.5 days prior to the crossing, okay? When it crosses Earth path, that is the start of the Great Tribulation. That will start the countdown of 1,260 days because the bride and the bridemaid is brought to the place in the wilderness for that amount of time, 3.5 years. That's a place of safety from the Great Tribulation. Whoever doesn't make it to the place of safety, they're in the Great Tribulation. And he gives a clear warning. He says, if you make it to the end alive still during the Great Tribulation without being in a place of safety, count yourself lucky. Very few of you will. This starts the Great Tribulation when it crosses Earth's path in either March or April even, which is going to be 3.5 days after Passover. The Bible gives us clear numbers to better calculate this. And we don't even have to argue about which calendar to follow, because you need to follow a Hebrew calendar. When the countries announce the 40-day warning, you count backwards from that date when they state that this is the date that is going to arrive. You count 3.5 days back. That's going to be Passover. And that's when Elijah and Moses probably is going to appear in Jerusalem. And it's a private meeting because there'll be no generators for TV crews and radio crews to film or to interview or to announce Moses and Elijah has arrived. Because when Earth starts to get too close to the plasma tail, they have to turn off generators globally. That's why the Earth is only going to have a 40-day warning. The people who are in Jerusalem waiting for Elijah, they will have the meeting with Elijah and Moses only. And the Bible says, clearly says, a remnant. That is the scariest word in the Bible. It is this first taking away is only a remnant that's brought to the wilderness for a place of safety during the Great Tribulation. They're not off of earth. They're in the wilderness in a place of safety.
Here's something that some of your subscribers have wanted to know. They've looked at your appointed time chart, and they've noticed that where you show sort of the blood moons, and you show a time frame of March, and it said 2016, but then, you know, an event of March, April. Now it's changed to 2017. Why the change? What's different? What are they missing?
We were looking for exactly what Revelation 12:1 said, a moon near or at the foot of Virgo. That only happened twice. That was on a Sabbath year and a Jubilee year. Because it landed on the Hebrew Pacific days, especially 70 Jubilees, this, This last jubilee we're going through was 70 jubilees. That's a significant thing. It gave me great concern, as I stated, great concern that I have no ability to predict the future. That I can only say this gives me great concern for us to stay and watch for a approaching planet if it shows up. Because you need the other half of that prophecy, that Revelation 12:1 depicts two things mainly, the foot of the Virgo and then the fiery dragon. If the fiery dragon doesn't show up, then it's not fulfilled. So we have to have that planet approaching.
15 to 16 was the Sabbath year, and then from 16 to 17 of the March, April is a Jubilee, and the Jubilee when this documentary comes out, it's already passed, has ended.
Now that happens to line up again with something that's said in Jacob's passages. He says he worked for his father-in-law for 20 years. Well, you start to count roughly in 2001, and do the counting, it lands very close to this time that the moon is at the foot of Virgo. And keep in mind, we haven't seen CO3, 4, and 5 happen yet. And we haven't seen a great falling away yet. All of these have to happen first.
As of late, Caltech, Mike Brown, Professor Mike Brown from Caltech, has also been a very hot topic, and which will show some of the things that he has talked about with his discovery of Planet Nine.
You are listening to the Modern Spiritual Podcast. We are now receiving messages from the universe. We will be back with our podcast in a moment.
Also, Mike Brown is also the professor who has dumbed down planet Pluto from being our ninth planet to, I guess you could call it a dwarf planet, or just, you know, it's not a planet that actually causes any perturbation with, I think it's Uranus and Neptune. However, he's gone on record now and on the news to talk about his new Planet Nine. And my question to you is why did, you know, Professor Mike Brown choose Planet Nine? Him and his partner said Planet Nine. And we've been talking about Planet X as the outside missing planet to our solar system. And now all of a sudden it's Planet Nine. Why do you think?
The term Planet X in the astronomy community since 1992 has taken a lot of criticism and a lot of ridicule. So they tend to stay away from that term. So he's projecting a whole new planetary object that he calls Planet Nine. But if you look carefully at what his orbit on what he's proposing, it's outside our present solar system. You know, it doesn't come on the inside of our solar system and cross our known planet's orbits, okay?
Why can you not see the planet?
The effect of the planet can be felt by probably many thousands of bodies that are out there. We've only found the first score of them, but there must be many thousands out there. So it's a lot easier to look in a random direction in space and see something that has been affected by this planet than to immediately go and find it. So right now we know the orbital path of the planet through the sky, but we don't know where in the orbital path it is. So we're setting out on a grand search to try to find it.
We did exactly the same thing that Bouvard did on Uranus. We actually found, we had tracked this object for a couple of weeks, and after a couple of weeks we had seen it go far enough that we could predict backwards in time where it was a year earlier. We found it a year earlier in somebody else's data. We found it 3 years earlier in somebody else's data. And we finally found it as early as 25 years earlier in some old data. With that, we could figure out the orbit. So remember, the question is it a circular orbit, or does it come in to the solar system like a comet or something does? And the answer is no. It doesn't do any one of those things.
So it will not give us the effects of what the Asian records saw, what the biblical records saw, won't cause the perturbation of the orbits of the comets. None of the effects that we're seeing right now, this object is not what's causing it.
This is a very hot topic right now because as of right now, if you have stellarium, you can actually go into the software program and you can see that the alignment of our stars right now is having the sun that is clothing, supposedly, Virgo. The moon is technically right now at the foot of Virgo, and Leo, the crown of 12, is above her head. No one can see that. and yet it's in the Bible. And God is very specific. And there's no indication that we should be looking at a software. Your chart is talking about a March-April event. Right now, people are talking about a September event. What's your take on this?
Without a doubt, this is not the sign mentioned in Revelation 12. The text states that the woman is clothed in the sun. That's the English version. Well, the word helios in the Greek actually means illuminated body. So it could either be the sun, it could be a comet, or it could be a planet-like object. But in the model, when we bring it to the month of Passover and show the planet passing just in front of Earth as it's starting to leave and go out, the tail of this planet, the comet tail-like, is only illuminating Virgo. Exactly the way the text says, only Virgo is illuminated. The sun illuminates all of the constellations during the daytime. When Yeshua was sacrificed, there was a three-hour eclipse. That was at Passover, okay? And it had to come fairly close between the earth and the sun for it to give us our 3 hours of darkness. Using the September daytime skies is referred to as the occult version, which is called the zodiac. Using the nighttime skies on March or April, that's called the Mezerah. That's what the Hebrews used. They're 180 degrees out of sync on where you need to look. I don't approve of anything occult to say that this is God's way of showing us a sign. You get yourself a planisphere and you turn it to the date and the time with your latitude, and it tells you exactly what constellation is in front of you.
During the post-production work on this project, Gil and I began discussing about the up-and-coming, now past September 23rd event, and the moon at the foot of Virgo, Jupiter in the womb of Virgo, and Leo at the crown of her head, as well as the great American eclipse. What did it all mean? A lot of people called us and wanted to know, what happened? Is anything going to happen? Did we miss something? So Gil and I decided to record our Skype meeting. Here's what we had to say.
The 23rd has passed, and we've really had a lot of people send some emails and say, you know, well, what did I miss? What happened? I don't understand. You know, again, it's like they're taking your information and they're intermixing it with a bunch of other people's, not correlating with your findings. So let's clear this up. What? Nothing happened. Why do you think nothing happened?
Because if you go back, the way that we looked at history on its past orbital path and with the Chinese record, it does not come close enough to Earth in a September event to cause the darkening of the sun. It would be only the size of maybe Venus crossing the sun's path. You would not have an eclipse at all. Unless you're looking at a natural eclipse or a object that would be almost equivalent to the size of the sun, which is impossible because this thing has passed over 14 times in the biblical record, another 5 in secular, that we wouldn't be here on just the first passing. Okay? This has to be a planetary type object that has a significant magnetic field that causes a tail like a comet. It's the magnetic field reacting with the plasma that causes the tail. The physicists are absolutely correct on the model of a comet. Now, I wanted to mention a little bit, you had mentioned within your present, your commentary about all of these large hurricanes we're having. Well, I'd read a scientific paper about 10, 15 years ago that stated there was an island or two off the coast of New York. Roughly 350, 360 years ago. And come to find out, those islands are not there anymore. So they did some research, geologists that did samples and everything, found out with the weather people and everything that they come to the conclusion that it was super hurricane that not just wiped out the inhabitants of the island, but the whole entire island was washed away. And that hit the coast of New York. I'm afraid because, look,
360 years ago, that was also when this planet passed.
An entire island laid waste. It's utter devastation. 90% of the buildings on the tiny Caribbean paradise of Barbuda have been destroyed. The island took a direct hit, ravaged by 180 mile per hour wind. Most of the 1,700 inhabitants are now homeless. As they hunkered down, many people captured the ferocious hurricane on their cell phones. St. Martin also took a direct hit. Its famous airport, a favorite place for tourists to hang out as jets fly right over their heads, now lies in ruins.
The sun currently looks like a crescent moon at this point. It is getting really cool around here.
Featured in the movie La La Land, now featured for the eclipse. We got about 70% of the sun eclipsed.
You can see it. There it is. It may not last long, but there it is.
According to what I've been seeing about the eclipse, there's two of them. There's one in 2024, and there was one in August 21st of 2017. And that makes an X over Miss America. It appears that this is pretty close to the beginning of a seven-year drought, which mid of the drought is the Great Tribulation, which is 3.5 years, which is the last half of the seven. So, of course, we're watchmen on the wall, not prophets on the wall. So we have to, after the great eclipse, it's just about 40 days, just roughly about 40, depends on which Hebrew calendar that you use. It's very close to 40 days to the Day of Atonement, which would be the time of Mr. Repentance. And after that point, you can count roughly 3.5 years. It happens to land on one of the years that the moon is at the foot of Virgo in the nighttime skies, 3.5 days after Passover in Jerusalem. There's a 2020 and there's 2021 where the moon is at the foot of Virgo. So we're very interested in the year 2021. Because if we start to see a global drought, not a local drought, a global drought begin, that will start to intensify in these next 3.5 years to going to that year 2021. That would be mid of the drought. And as we've shown on our past biblical stories presentation, that this planet tends to actually cross in the mid of the drought. You have 3.5 year drought coming in, 3.5 year drought leaving. The only time it was longer than that was around Ruth. It was 10 years of drought. So this happens to be qualified in the text where it mentions the two prophets when they appear, which is Elijah appears during Passover, that they bring drought with them for 3.5 years. But that's the last half of the seven.
Okay, now this is a really upsetting story. The Sea of Galilee is at its lowest level in a century after a limited rainfall last February. Northern farmers even fear that they will have to stop watering huge swaths of cultivated land unless the government steps in.
For more than 70 days, there has not been a single drop of rain in the western part of Liaoning. Farmers have abandoned their grain stocks in favor of cultivating other crops in hopes of minimizing losses.
Drought that doesn't seem to end, is that something that we can quantify scientifically?
Absolutely. Since about 2011, we've seen just a continuation of the drought intensifying, particularly in the Horn of Africa. And right now, as you have reported, we have 9 countries where nearly 17 million people exposed to drought are actually facing hunger and famine. So the scientific story is very clear. The intensification, the deepening of the problem means that we're going to have droughts for years to come.
That qualifies that you have 3.5 before that, if you understand the past history of the planet and the biblical text. So, like I said, if we qualify this with a sighting of global drought starting, then I would think that we're in about roughly 3.5 years. It may be the event that we're actually waiting for, where the Messiah returns.
Well, did you know on June 8th, 1918, there was a total solar eclipse going across the United States that was almost identical to the pattern that we're having on August 21st? And it was 100 years ago. That was the last time we had a total solar eclipse across the United States. This is again at the beginning of the month of repentance on the first of Elul. Could God be giving us a warning that we need to repent just as Nineveh or judgment will be coming to the United States? The timing could not be clearer. Exactly about 7 years later, there's going to be another total solar eclipse across the United States. But this time it's going from the south to the northeast. And what's crazy, St. Louis is in the crosshairs. Now, why is April 8th significant? April 8th is the first of Nisan. That's the day of the beginning of the biblical year. That is when the fire fell from heaven. That's when the Moses tabernacle was dedicated. This is the ancient letter Tav, which looks just like the X going across the United States, which is a sign from God.
I would also like to point out that when the moon crosses America for the second time, it also crosses the New Madrid fault line. Not to mention that in that same very region, the Mississippi is currently drying up, that the media is not currently touching upon. Here's a few photos that I was able to find online. We talked about Zachariah Sitchin in the last one. We kind of compared his work to your work, him saying 3,600 years, you saying, 360 years, rough estimate, roughly, that this thing basically comes around. So you've discovered something a little bit different when you've looked at some of the clay tablets that he has analyzed. What was that? What have you discovered in that clay tablet?
The Sumerian tablets, which he was saying is a representation of the solar system of planets and the sun, I've come up with a different understanding of it. What I believe this to be is very similar to the Niebuhr disk, that this is actually the sun in an eclipse mode, and that these are stars, prominent stars and some minor stars. Well, when we go back in time about probably 1 to 2 events deeper into time than Noah, we have some interesting lineups on the constellation that seems to fit that pattern that they're showing there.
So Gil, let's talk about what happened this year. You took a visit to Israel. Why did you go to Israel? And how was your visit?
Yeah, so just about a month or so ago, I was invited to Israel, and I was glad to go because it was Passover. It would be my first dry rehearsal in Mr. Jerusalem, as the text says to observe it. And I was able to meet with three rabbis that wanted to see me pertaining to Planet X. And they were showing me out of their ancient texts where they qualified some of the things that I was saying, how we have a 40-day warning. But one of the things I never told anyone is that we had pictures, photos of objects in Asia that referred, whenever you see the fiery dragon of old and the sun always, that the sun showed 7 objects missing in front of it, which I considered it to be moon, but I had no text to back it, so I never made mention of it. Well, they brought this out in the text, that this object has 7 moons. So, which was quite interesting. So, we may have an object which matches Revelation, where it says 7 heads. This object, the fiery dragon, has 7 heads, could be 7 moons. Remember, you're using ancient terminology. They didn't have a general word for moon, okay? They had their own names for it.
You want me to show you a few things in the scriptures regarding this planet?
Oh, yes, please.
All right. We do know, the Zohar says, and also the Talmud, that during the flood, they had 2 things. They had a lot of cold water coming, shower from heaven, and at the same time, hot volcanoes, yes, and
spring is
coming out.
Yeah,
that we know.
Yeah,
so we see that the effect of our Nibiru or whatever you call it is doing the same effect. Mm-hmm. Lately we have a lot of floods.
Yep.
And at the same time the earth is burning, it's hot, right? A lot of spray, a lot of
yes.
volcanoes. So the book of Zohar, where does it speak about the planet? About the star that will show up in the sky in the end of days. Exactly when the Mashiach will be revealed in many chapters.
See,
in the book of Noah,
yeah,
he speaks about it. And about 5-6 different locations in his books he speaks about the star, not just once.
In the book of Revelation it does that also. It says exactly what you were saying also.
Yeah. Zohar says in the parasha, in the part of the book of the Exodus, he's also speaking about this planet. And look what he says. He says, there will be in the end of time when a lot of trouble will be in the world, and also Israel will be in troubles, then will be a pillar of fire standing from down to heaven for 40 years. And the Zohar says about that, he said that the time of the King of Mashiach will be revealed. Hashem will build Jerusalem and will show one star lighting in the sky with 70 little lights, sparkles, 70 sparkles around.
Okay.
It could be meteors, could be whatever you call it. Yeah? In the middle of the sky. And he will be light and making wars with all the different lights. One day he will be seen in a certain town of Rome. And the same day, three big buildings of this city will fall. And a governor of this city will die.
What's interesting, the book of Revelation says that there will be a great earthquake, that 10,000 people would die here in the city during this time. It's strange, it's matching this.
So he said it first will be shown in a big Rome city, and then this star will go to be seen in the rest of the world. That's what he says.
Hmm.
And at that time will be a lot of wars in the world.
Yeah.
And
R says the same thing too.
He says this star will be clear for 40 days, and then the Mashiach will be shown. It's in another place, Parashat.
Now, I had made that estimate from what I read that we would get a 40-day warning before the cross, which
yeah,
you had just verified that right
yeah,
there.
It could be now.
That the Mashiach would be coming shortly after that 40-day warning.
And at the same day, the whole world will be shattered. And people of the world will be hiding into caves and underground facilities.
our book of Revelation says the same thing.
Yeah. And it says it's written, he based it on the sentence from Isaiah chapter B. He says, and people will come into caves.
Mm-hmm.
He based it upon Isaiah chapter B. Look for this sentence. And then let's go to the next page in Exodus. He speaks a lot about it. I can't speak so much, but he says 40 days after this pillar of fire will be seen in front of the whole world and Mashiach will be revealed, then from east will come a new planet blazing in all colors, and seven other planets surrounding this planet. Could be moons, whatever, it doesn't matter. And I knew about the star many years when I read in the Zohar, but God forgive me, I thought it's, even though I think it's a holy book, I didn't know it's, I thought, come on, a star coming with seven planets, and I saw it's something spiritual.
So you were skeptical too.
Myself,
skeptical.
Yeah.
I was skeptical
even
too.
Though I saw it in the Zohar, I said, well, it probably it's something spiritual,
yeah.
Mystic, you know. Even though I know everything in the Zohar, it's facts. And then I saw, I heard, you know, the autistic kids,
Yes.
You heard? They spoke about the planet X.
Yes.
And then people told me what you said, and other people said, I said, oh, come on, it comes together.
It's a jump to light speed in the search for signs of life outside our solar system. NASA says it's found at least 7 Earth-sized planets orbiting a dwarf star 40 light years away.
This is the first time that so many Earth-sized planets are found around the same star.
In December of 2015, on the 23rd, the 27th, and the 30th, 3 autistic Jewish men were interviewed in Jerusalem, Daniel, Benjamin, and Menachem, who speak through facilitated communication. All spoke about world governments preparing for what they already know is the coming of Planet X. What controversially makes these 3 men unique is their claimed ability of receiving messages from God. If you don't know about these 3 and you haven't read the articles, here's a few excerpts of what they had to say during their interview. Menachem said, "They're following this thing, but not reporting on it. They went silent on the subject. They didn't speak of it further, only preparing. They started digging to make bunkers. It's a fact. And now, there are bunkers also in Israel. There's one very large bunker for the important people of the state, who will leave the rest of us outside, and they'll be inside. I tell you a secret. If it will be this way, then woe to those who are inside, and the people who are outside. Those who have trust in Hashem, God, they'll be saved. And another interesting thing I'll tell you, that they made calculations and measurements, and where is the most safe place in the world with regard to this whole event? They reached the conclusion that it's Jerusalem. The safest place is the land of Israel, and mainly Jerusalem." Daniel said, "The effects of Nibiru will be giant tsunamis with waves 100 meters high, earthquakes, tornadoes, erupting volcanoes. There will be a hit to nuclear reactors that will cause radioactive contaminations like in Fukushima, Japan. And there won't be electricity, and there won't be clean water, and there won't be food. It will be a very difficult situation when Israel will be like in Noah's Ark." Daniel also responded to those who think Nibiru is a hoax. "They're trying to say that the issue with this star is all nonsense, but it's not nonsense. There are those who are saying exactly when they think it will arrive. It's also not for certain, but I'm certain that this matter itself is correct, because it is written exactly in all kinds of our sources, and even the Torah scholars can show you." Benjamin said, "And I say to you, there's going to be a huge disaster, really. God, He's the only one who can destroy the world that He Himself created. It will be a huge disaster, and this disaster will destroy 2/3 of the world, and it will leave the land of Israel complete. Now, you want to know how it will happen? I don't know exactly, but from all the possibilities I've heard, the matter of the star, it seems to me the most real." People want to know, if we're living in the end times, where are we at in Revelation according to your charts? You've already kind of touched on it, but let's break it down just briefly. Where are we at according to your charts, do you think we are in Revelation, if we are living in the end times?
I believe that we're at CO3 waiting for economic problems to happen globally. We already see this mentioned in the news. I personally believe that we're looking at a bail-in that will be implemented almost globally, where they'll seize depositors' funds. We've already seen a few banks that and countries that went through this already.
Massive lines at banks across India on Thursday as millions of people rushed to cash in notes that were yanked out of circulation at barely a moment's notice. It's the first time the banks have opened up since the 501,000 rupee bills were withdrawn at midnight on Tuesday. Shops and gas stations are no longer accepting them, so the race is on to trade them in for smaller denominations.
Athens Wednesday, and the people are out on the streets again as their country desperately struggles to repay more than $8 billion it owes by July.
The Italian government predicts that one of the country's biggest banks will narrowly avoid collapse at the end of the year. The country's Prime Minister Matteo Renzi says Monte dei Paschi di Siena, the world's oldest surviving bank, will have to increase capital to fill in the gaps in its accounts, and it's one of the biggest worries for the European economy.
Illinois may soon have something in common with Puerto Rico and Detroit. There's speculation the state could be forced to file for Chapter 9 bankruptcy.
Yeshua said before this, before he returns, there's going to be a great falling away. When the economy crashes and people are not prepared and don't have food, they're standing in line, they lose their homes because they didn't prepare for this, there's going to be a great falling away. And we haven't seen that yet. When you start seeing that happen and the internet is going down, start looking up.
Do you personally believe that we are living in the final age, or better yet, the last days?
Yes, we are in the last days. It's called Jacob's Trouble. We can clearly see this in the news, where radical Islam is after Jews and Christians.
The Bible says in the end days they will cut the heads off of believers, thinking that they're doing a favor for God.
The footage purporting to show the beheadings of Ethiopian Christians in that country. We're only showing you a couple of images because the content is much too graphic. It's a 30-minute video. It appears to show two groups of men dressed in jumpsuits being killed at different locations in Libya, one group by beheading the other at the point of a gun.
Right now, some disturbing new numbers on religious persecution across the world, showing roughly 90,000 Christians were killed last year because of their faith. Amy Kellogg is live from Milan, Italy, with more for us now. Amy?
Part of this discussion over these new numbers, Jenna, has been that Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world.
We also, the Bible states that that Israel would be reformed in the latter days. In other words, the other times that Planet X had passed, Israel was not formed yet. The generation that saw Israel formed, which is basically if you go back to the Holocaust generation, that generation shall not die out before all is fulfilled.
How did you come to the conclusion that it was the Holocaust generation, and that generation that appears to be roughly 70 years? How did you come to that?
It states it in the Bible. I don't have the quote in front of me, but it says that a generation is 70 or 80. Many people try to choose, but using a little bit of Hebrew thinking, it's actually both. Because if you're at age 12, okay, your bar mitzvahs there has started. Well, if you count 70 years after that, well, that puts you within this region right now. Well, if you count straight from the time that he was born, well, he's in his 80s. So both of those numbers apply depending on where you start the count from. There's also, we've had 70 jubilees. So only this generation, Holocaust generation, with Planet X coming back, will signify the arrival of the Messiah coming. Now they're talking about a peace agreement to where they may divide the Temple Mount into three different areas.
Say we're going to be discussing many things, among them peace between the Palestinians and Israel will be a fantastic achievement. And we are giving it an absolute go. I think there's a good chance that it could happen. Most people would say there's no chance whatsoever. I actually think with the capability of Bibi, and frankly, the other side, I really think we have a chance. I think Israel would like to see it, and I think the Palestinians would like to see it. And I can tell you that the Trump administration would like to see it. So we're working very hard on it. We'll see what happens. Historically, people say it can't happen. I say it can happen.
One of the things that I think a lot of people are trying to get you to do as well is trying to get you to date set. And I know personally, I went in front of the camera because we had talked about it, and we had said, there's no date setting here. You know, it's data finding. It's information. It's gathering it up and letting the data speak for itself. So what do we want to say in this documentary again, and really kind of nail it down on the head so people can stop saying, you know, there's date setting here. Oh, you know, we're going to look out now for 2019 and 20. No, you actually gave a range, and we showed it in the last documentary, but now we're going to enforce it so that people truly understand there is no date setting. There is a window, and you have a chart that gives estimates. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, estimates is a educated guess. You know, when data is missing, you do an educated guess. It's not prophesizing. I have no way of predicting the future. I have always said that, but seemed to me many people don't hear it. But I give estimates. This is what we do in engineering and in every other aspect, even in astronomy. If we're missing data, this is an estimate. Just like Planet Nine, they're estimating an orbit. They have yet to see it.
The information that I gathered over the years, I'm just trying to share it to people who are interested in taking a look at this and coming to their own conclusions. From my point of view, the evidence is self-evident that we do have a planet or planet/comet type object that does come through our universe roughly approximately every 360 years. And for them to be in the right place at the right time, because if you pair this with the biblical text, it gives you the point of reference on where you need to be, which is actually Jerusalem, which ends up being the pivot point of the tilt when the Earth tilts 26 to 28 degrees.
As the Bible states, next time this planet passes, the most severe event in all of Earth's history. That means Noah's flood was not the worst. This next time is. Study the research material. Study your Bible. They're definitely linked. There is a real object coming. We need to pay attention to the skies. Be watchmen. Do your own research, and I pray for the people to wake up.
Test everything before you believe in anything. I'm Rain Mercury, and you've just watched Planet 7X, the destroyer this way comes.
But only the wise make it to the place of safety. The foolish don't. Because that day it qualifies, it says in the Bible that he will make the day into night and night into day. Well, that's not an eclipse. An eclipse does not give you light, it only gives you darkness. He's describing a 12-hour delay. It's the same way as saying, I will make noon into midnight and midnight into noon. Do we have any other qualifiers that qualifies this? Yes, we have where he states, I will send the four winds and I'll send four angels to stop the four winds. Well, what causes the winds to blow? It's the rotation of the earth. If you stop the rotation of the earth, you have the wind stop. This is in refer to a 12-hour delay. Again, so the wise bridesmaids have two portions of oil. That will be for a normal night, which is 12 hours. They will have two. It'll be 24 hours long, the night in Jerusalem. Remember, Yeshua comes mid of night, not midnight, mid of that 24 hours of darkness. On this side of the globe, on North to South America, they'll have an extra 12 hours of daylight. They'll have 24 hours total. And in March and April is where the meteor shower hits the daylight side of Earth. 5 months later is where it hits the nighttime side of Earth.
This is a Alchemy Coach Chip Podcast production. We remind you to subscribe to the Modern Spiritual Podcast to stay up to speed with us, so you don't lose us on the super internet highway. Friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to us on YouTube, or search for the Modern Spiritual Podcast on Google.